Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there, if you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnish Training proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King Baby Doc Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. And yes, I know, the Patriots lost. No dynasty this time. No sixth Super Bowl ring for Brady or Belichick. The Eagles played good and were the better team this time around. They finally have a Super Bowl championship. Something that they've never achieved up until that point. So let's let them have it. Let them celebrate the victory. Let them get all the accolades. Let them all have their parties. They deserve it. All it means for us is that next year, the Pats try harder. They do their job better. We were good, but not as strong as we could have been. Because right now, the Pats and the other teams in the NFL are now 0-0. The wins and losses have been reset, meaning it's time for them to train and focus on the next season to be had. Because who knows what will entail for the 2018-2019 season? We won't know until near the end of summer and the preseason stuff begins. So until then, let's restart the tallies, let the Eagles have their trophy, and focus on what's important now. Baseball season, bitches! Red Sox Nation! Ho! Okay, let's start the show. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, Yes Asia, Amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. Today, we're going to start things off with a singer and voice actor, Rie Takahashi, whom you may know from the idol group Earphones, or from her roles as Megumin in Konosuba, Ernesti in Knights and Magic, and Amelia in ReZero. This season, you can catch her as the teasing titular character in the anime comedy Karakai Jozu no Takagi-san. And this particular track serves as the end theme for it as of this recording. Here now is Rie Takahashi with a rendition of that Judy and Mary classic, Jitensha. Here's Metaltic Nocturne. That was Noodles with Wallflower. If you're going to find yourself in Nagoya at the beginning of March, you'll be able to catch Noodles at Club Rock and Roll's 25th anniversary show with their pals Special Thanks. Another great band, by the way. I think that date was March 3rd or March 4th. You may have to check the Club Rock and Roll website to figure that out. I should have written that down in my notes, but oh well. So the other day, I'm checking out Boston's Museum of Fine Arts for its free admission day in celebration of the Chinese New Year. I'm there with my friends Lynn and Marie. Hi, by the way, if you're listening. And one of the exhibits they're showing off is Takashi Murakami's Lineage of Eccentrics collection. Now, this is a special collaboration with the museum and renowned Japanese art historian Professor Noble Tsuji, with pieces of Murakami's works that are related to the museum's own and permanent collection. So while you won't see any of Murakami's infamous statues like My Lonesome Cowboy or Nurse Ko 2, you'll see his interpretations of such classic works of art as Soga Shohaku's Dragon in Clouds. You'll see his characters Kai Kai and Kiki in some of these paintings, though, because that's a given. So the exhibit itself is a marvel for the eyes. I love seeing these works of art up close and personal, as I am a very big fan of Murakami's work. His super flat style is one of my favorite kinds of art, as it brings forth this level of color and expressiveness that I don't see in some modern-day works. Yes, it's very anime-esque, but it dives into this sort of psychedelic aspect that anime doesn't do often. You know, perhaps one of the only directors I can think of that delves into the psychedelic is Masaki Yuasa, but he doesn't go as bright as Murakami does. So if you're in the Boston area and are interested in checking it out, by all means, get to Murakami's exhibit before it closes on April 1st. Now, despite my love and praise for this exhibit, I do have a bit of a gripe I need to address. So after we went through the exhibit, there was a gift shop at the end, and it's filled with plushies, t-shirts, mugs, pillows, and all sorts of stuff based off of Murakami's work. And as a fan of his, it made me glow and go, "Give me everything, here's my wallet!" But as I picked up a plushy version of one of his happy flowers, one that just fits into the palm of my hands, my whole body went white when I saw how much they were charging. Well, I'm always white, but I went like ghost white. For just a tiny plushie of Murakami's characters, they were charging $85 fucking. Are you joking, MFA? My recent Chomusuke plushie, which was 3 times the size as this Murakami one, and will probably be rarer seeing as they only make merch of the currently most popular anime series, just cost me $50. And that includes shipping! And the fact that it was sold from a secondhand person as CD Japan sold out of its initial run. And it wasn't like there were only one or two of these plushies on display. No, sorry, Bob. There were like hundreds of these plushies of these different characters on sale. And they had the audacity to charge $85. And that's not the worst I saw there. $40 for a t-shirt. $288 for a tote bag. $50 for a Kiki puppet, $200 for our flower pillow, $27 for a fucking pin. I'm sorry, but that's just freaking highway robbery, and I even went on to Amazon, and they're actually charging more for these pieces of merch on there than the MFA. Did, like, Murakami himself make like each and every individual plushie shirt and bag? Because that would be the only way I would be somewhat okay with that pricing, if he made them all himself. FYI, they also had a couple of his original works on sale for a few $100, which, had I the money, I would have grabbed that, as those would be worth far more in the near future. But Yeah. MFA? Murakami-sama? Do us fans a favor. Drop your fucking merch prices. You do that, and more people will buy more things from you, which will mean you'll get more money in the long run. Plushies the size you are selling should be no more than $25. T-shirts, $20. Tote bags, $50. And pins, like, $3. Because this is why some people hate cool art, because it's too damn expensive to appreciate. But, despite that angry rant, do check out Takashi Murakami's really cool new MFA exhibit. But, please don't waste your time looking in the gift shop. It'll just break your heart when you see what they're charging for it. Right, let's get back to some music. From Louisiana, this next band is gearing up for the release of their upcoming album, Physical Business, which will be in stores on March 9th. They're called Stoner Pop, and from that album is a song leading with 80s-styled synth and siren-like power. It's called Royalty.
It won't last.
accompanied by Kaela Kimura. That was Toe with Ototo Tani Kimito from their 2015 release, Hear You. Toe just finished up a South American tour last January and dropped a cover and remix album called That's Another Story a couple days afterwards. Now, coming up are one of the Japanese punk bands that wowed me back in the day, thanks in part to their contribution to the anime series Naruto. It's Stans Punks, who are playing a scattering of shows throughout Japan in the springtime. From their 2015 album Pins, this is Stay Young.
Bye. ignored it all in my head. I could have done something, but I didn't see the scars becoming part of who we are. And then we fell apart. So where to start? I found my happiness in knowing where I'm going. I find direction in my dreams. Do as I have said, and I'll see you soon. I'll see you soon. Staring at four bare walls, it isn't hard sometimes.
Of Leeds United, that was Muffin with the track Misdirection off of their self-titled EP that will be released on March 10th. Reminds me of 1998 era Queens of the Stone Age with Bush, so hopefully that'll mean big things from these guys in the future. Truly badass band. I love them. Now, a couple weeks back, one of our good friends, the hip-hop gamer Gerard Williams, recorded an impromptu Shots Fired episode criticizing some of the flaws with the game Monster Hunter World. Now, me personally, the game is a 9 out of 10, but it does have a couple issues with some graphical clipping and the like. No game is perfect, even ones with perfect scores, but I brought up to Hip Hop Gamer, who was criticizing all the 9s and 10s Monster Hunter World was getting, that some reviewers, who may be huge fans of the franchise, might be a little bit biased in their articles. To which Gerard responded that those journalists should quit and find a new job if they can't do their job properly. And, you know, this is a mentality that I can agree on. There are so many reviewers out there that are biased when it comes to beloved franchises, especially last year with Breath of the Wild, which, while great, didn't deserve all those perfect scores it was getting. You can love Zelda, but loving a game, or any form of entertainment, means having to criticize it too. Because how is someone supposed to get better in their line of artistry if there isn't someone out there who makes mention of their flaws? If someone is told their games are constantly perfect, then they're going to be going out there and doing the same shit over and over again until it gets diluted. I'm looking at you, Call of Duty and Battlefield franchises. Now, it goes without saying that there are series in the gaming world that I personally love. My top three favorite video game series are, in no particular order, Shantae, Yakuza, and Senran Kagura. And you know, I've reviewed these games in the past, and despite my love for them, I had to be critical of them too. While I have given perfect scores for Yakuza 5 and Yakuza 0, I gave its Dead Souls spinoff like a 6.8 out of 10, I think, because it had shitty aim controls, not enough hand-to-hand combat, and horrible loading times. Shantae Half-Genie Hero is probably my all-time favorite platformer, but I was critical of its Risky Boots DLC due to the short runtime and lack of originality. And Senran Kagura's recent canon games I graded went roughly 8, 10, and 9, with Escival Versus getting the perfect score more due to its strong multiplayer mode. But they all had flaws, and because I pointed out these flaws, these developers can then go forth and make the installment better. And when that happens, I'm sure there will be other issues that'll pop up that might have to be fixed in the next game. It's a circle jerk of improving one's craft and neglecting a flub or two here and there. But when it comes to being critical with video games, you do need to leave your fanboy side out of the equation. You can be passionate about these games, you can be passionate about any form of art, but that doesn't mean you can ignore what's wrong with them. If you can't do that, you shouldn't be a critic at all. So please, if you want your opinion on something to be heard, be coherent, be honest, and always be sure to point out the bad stuff that may be mixed in with the good. Even if it's a tiny flaw, be sure to make it known. Otherwise, those games you love so much might just lose its luster in the long run. Coming up, we've got the latest single from NanoRipe, which serves as the opening theme for the anime series Citrus. A pretty good show, but as a public service reminder, don't fuck your sibling, even if they're a step-sibling. Please don't do it. We don't want another Oriimo on our hands, for Christ's sakes. Anyway, here are NanoRipe with Azalea.
Yeah.
One of my favorites from Bloodthirsty Butchers, that was Ahahan from 2007's Guitarist Ole Korsunidhe. Now, the cool thing about this album and a few of Bloodthirsty Butchers' records is that its album cover was drawn by renowned artist Yoshimoto Naro, one of my favorite contemporaries from Japan. You know, if you go to my neck of the woods at the Peabody Essex Museum in Salem, you can see up close and personal his 2002 painting Little Ambassador Comes Back. One of the many cool things that you'll see around that ever-evolving art museum. Especially this new Playtime exhibit that just opened up, too. Really check that one out. And the Georgia O'Keeffe one. There's actually a lot you should see at the PBD Essex Museum. Now, speaking of something on the artsy sound of things, this next group from Sweden takes much of its inspiration from the works of David Bowie, Trent Reznor, Moby, and Brian Eno. They're called Shape-Shifting Aliens, who released their self-titled debut album last year that features a collaboration with Nolan Cook, the guitarist for the iconic and always mysterious art rock band The Residents. From that debut album is Drums of Bitter Hearts.
I'm here. a slayer. I'm your slayer. I'm a trouble slayer.
Last year's Sweet Generation, that was Electric Eel Shock with Ninja Slayer, which, of course, served as one of the many end themes for Studio Trigger's anime adaptation for Ninja Slayer. A wonderful, crazy-ass show, by the way. Electric Eel Shock are gearing up for a European tour soon, so hopefully they'll leap over to one more continent later this year for another American trek. Okay. So this next segment here may be a little bit controversial, but it deals with a series I've promoted in the past. And because of that, I feel like it's my duty to share with you my thoughts and beliefs on this certain situation. One that's been kind of polarizing the anime community one way or another. I'm talking about the recent controversies surrounding the anime series Recovery of an MMO Junkie. Now, this particular anime was an amazing series that aired last fall. I gave it 5 stars in my review, and it landed at number 3 on my top anime of 2017, beating out the likes of Little Witch Academia and even Interviews with Monster Girls. Its portrayal of modern dating in an internet-crazed world was right on the ball, and it probably will be used as a guide of sorts as to how to tackle dating in today's modern world for future anime. However, the problem involves the director of Recovery of an MMO Junkie. Now, I'm not going to say his name, and I will explain in a little bit as to why I'm doing that. But it has come to many people's attention that the director of Recovery of an MMO Junkie is, to be blunt, an anti-Semite. Like, full-on, Holocaust-denying, let's blame the Jewish community on everything level of anti-Semite. And that, in the most plainest of English, is fucking bad. Like, there is no excuse to have this sort of mentality whatsoever. Even if you've grown up in a household with family members who hated the Jewish community, a quick look at the outside world or even a little internet browsing would have easily found that this sort of mentality is both dangerous and very out of whack. I'm gonna level with you. When I first heard about this from Senkaku Complex, which broke the news days before Anime News Network, I felt really sick to my stomach. Here was this show that I loved to death last season, and this director's involvement with it made me start regretting my decision to praise it so much. I was mad not just because of my thoughts on the series, but because now every person who's worked on this show, both in Japan and even Funimation's dub, is somehow now connected to this jackass. But then, before I could go full-blown SJW on this news story, which I can sometimes do when a thing like this appears on my radar because of my core beliefs and values, I began to think of all the other things I love and support despite it having the involvement of folks whose personal beliefs I wholeheartedly disagree with. I thought about Ender's Game, which was my favorite book growing up in middle school and was adapted into a brilliant and just awe-inspiring movie. The author of Ender's Game is a horrible homophobe, despite his stories seemingly being about overcoming one's differences and learning about acceptance.
Video games like Earthworm Jim and the Neverhood made up my childhood, and I even enjoyed the spiritual successor Armorkrog. But the director of those games, or rather the creator of those games, likes to tweet a lot of really bad and sometimes hurtful and ignorant things that makes me cringe every time it pops into my feed. And growing up in high school, I loved the band Kiss. But their bassist is a terrible asshole who's probably sexually assaulted thousands of women, of which he has taken a Polaroid photograph of each quote-unquote conquest. He mentions this in his autobiography, by the way. That's what kind of sick pervert this guy is. So when I started trying to weigh in exactly how I feel, I came to this conclusion. You can love a product, but you can despise its creator. Recovery of an MMO Junkie is an amazing show, but its director, he's a shithead. Just because one person involved in a program is bad doesn't mean you should punish the animators, the voice actors, script adapters, musicians, dubbers, and even its original manga creator. When a ship is going through treacherous waters, and the captain is doing squat to keep everyone afloat, you mutiny and toss the captain overboard. Which is why I have a solution for those anime fans who are still torn about this recent news. And it is this. Pretend that this director doesn't even exist. Don't say his name, don't bring up his horrible ideologies, and don't drag the rest of the show under the tremulous seas that this controversy is making. Instead, talk about how original manga author Rin Kokyo is a genius regarding their take on modern dating. Talk about how beautiful Signal MD's animation is. Mention how great Mamoko Noto, Takehiro Sakurai, and Tomoaki Mayono were in their roles. And the same can be said about the English actors Terry Doughty, Josh Grail, and Ian Sinclair. Give praise to Jessica Cavanna for doing a phenomenal job adapting the script for the English audience. Just don't say anything about the director, because even mentioning his name can have him gain some sort of traction. Now, when it comes to the harder aspect, which is the fact that this guy will make some sort of money from Blu-ray sales, that's a tough one. But I also have a solution for that, but it's a business level sort of decision. One that us fans, we can't do. This is something that Funimation, Comico, everybody else who are involved with the production would have to do. And it is this. And oddly enough, it's actually a playbook rule that Konami actually did. And so I'm actually surprised that I'm actually using Konami as an example here for something more positive. Anyways, this is what they should do. They should just sever his royalties. Whatever he would have made from merch sales, give it to people who deserve it better, like the animators, who are more than likely making just under 500 yen an hour drawing. Which, you know, if you heard on our episode of Wicked Anime, it takes 2 hours to draw a single eye, so that's 1,000 yen right there. He's already got paid for directing the show, so it should stop there. Just as Konami didn't pay Hideo Kojima for any of the sales of Metal Gear Solid 5. Mind you, it was wrong when Konami did it because of all the hard work that Hideo Kojima did, and not to mention he's the one who created the series. But if Comico and Funimation didn't give a single cent of Blu-ray sales to this director because of his hateful beliefs, well, that would send that douchebag and the rest of the anime industry a strong sign that we as human beings don't tolerate that sort of shit. Not in public, not behind closed doors, nowhere whatsoever. And that, listeners, is my thought process on this whole matter. I do plan to buy Recovery of an MMO Junkie when it comes out here, because it's a great show, and fans of rom-coms should absolutely watch it. But let's not give any praise or even mention the name of the director. Recovery of an MMO Junkie was helmed by a team of talented animators, voice actors, musicians, and production companies. And not by a terrible anti-Semite. Now, if you listeners have your own thoughts on this matter, please be sure to write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. Because if I get enough good responses, I'll read them off on the next episode, and I will share with you my comments on said responses. But let me be clear. If any of you out there write something hateful in any way, I'm just going to delete it from my inbox. Nazi-like thinking is not welcome in any way, shape, or form in the Boston Bastard Brigade. And if you have any sort of mentality that is like an alt-right or a Nazi or a nationalist, white nationalist, whatever you want to call them, I have just one thing to say to you. Get the fuck off my ship. Okay. I know it's hard to transition from that, but let's do our best and spin a couple more songs for your listening pleasure. Here's a recent track from The Pillows, who will once again be providing the soundtrack for the sequel series to Fooly Cooly this year. From Nook in the Brain, this is Pulse.
pink things. I am not helping this. I have an ear for things. Please have my ear for this. This cold, cold, cold mountain. This cold, cold, cold mountain. Cold, cold, cold mountain. This cold, cold, cold mountain. This cold, cold, cold mountain. This cold, cold, cold mountain. Cold, cold, cold mountain.
A longtime friend of the show, even going back to our college radio show days, that was J.P. Regal with Cold Cold Mountain from his 2015 solo record, The Long Dark Bright. His main band, The Broken Broadcast, will next be playing a gig at the Stockton Calling Music Festival in the UK on March 31st. So if you're looking for a great time in England around that date, visit the Stockton Calling official site and grab yourself a ticket. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter and the J-Pop anime and video games amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on Facebook.com/Boston Bass Brigade and on Facebook.com/Land of Esh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smashed Rook. Promotional consideration for this week's tracks from Stoner Pop and Shape-Shifting Aliens made by Shameless Promotion PR, and the track from Muffin was provided by High Violet PR and Plugging. Thank you, as always, for sending down these tracks for us to spin. Don't forget to check out a new episode of Wicked Anime this coming Thursday on the Nerdy Show Network, where we chat about how we can't decide if Darling in the Franxx is a good show, the new Thunderbolt fantasy movie, and reflecting back to the days when we weren't fans of anime. It's a bit of a trip down memory lane on a new Wicked Anime, which can be found everywhere podcasts can be heard. Our final act today is the woman with many talents, Miss Maya Sakamoto. You'll be able to catch her this April when she dons the iconic character of Cutie Honey in the new series Cutie Honey Universe, but right now, she has once again provided the theme song to Cardcaptor Sakura for its new Clear Card arc that is currently airing. Here now is Maya Sakamoto with Clear. And until next time, this is your King Baby Duck, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.
Hey guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.